Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
China's growth continues to lag, taking the wind out of any recovery momentum in the global economy. Spain's bank woes continue to worsen as Spain raises domestic taxes to try and get its fiscal house in order. But the tectonic shift in the global banking sector continues to be the persistent question surrounding the interbank lending system, the LIBOR interest rate mechanism. For setting global interest rates is open to manipulation by member banks. The Barclays scandal established that clearly. But is the LIBOR system starting to look more like a gigantic price-fixing operation that pervades the entire banking industry? Reports yesterday showed that Barclays held several LIBOR-related meetings with the Federal Reserve Bank of New York back in 2007 and 2008. At that time, the president of the New York Fed was none other than Timothy Geithner, currently the Secretary of the Treasury. Mark Scott is a reporter for Deal Book with our partner, the New York Times. He's been covering the LIBOR scandal since it broke. Mark, welcome back to the program.
Hi, John.
So let's talk, first of all, a meeting in 2007 and 2008 on the LIBOR at the New York Fed on its face doesn't necessarily constitute something incriminating, does it?
It does not. Obviously, regulators worldwide were, you know, keeping a very close eye on what was going on, particularly at that time of the financial crisis. And so in itself, it does not mean, it's not a smoking gun. But yet there's definitely some questions to be answered.
And, you know, suddenly with the Barclays scandal, we're clear that the LIBOR interest rate is not set by some stone tablets that are handed down by some deity at the top of Mount Sinai. I mean, this is something that is open to manipulation, and the entire system for setting these interest rates is suddenly being looked at very, very carefully. How does this cross the line into criminality?
There are two things here. So LIBOR is overseen by the British Bankers Association, which is a trade body here in London. And so it's pretty much a self-regulated system in which regulators have a say, but obviously it's set by a number of banks in a very complicated system. There are two elements here. There are, as the settlement with Barclays showed, a number of traders within the bank that try to manipulate the LIBOR rate up and down to benefit their trading position. So that's one element of the criminality. And from my understanding, there are ongoing investigations about potential criminal prosecutions. The second element kind of relates to the overall financial system, particularly after the collapse of Lehman Brothers in 2008, when many banks were concerned about their funding positions. And it appears from the settlement with Barclays that, you know, senior executives in the bank did try and sort of lower their LIBOR submissions to show that they were in a better financial position than potentially they were.
So if you and I, and I'm not saying we're going to do this, were to start an investigation of the New York Fed to take a look at what it is they might have been interested in back in 2007 and 2008, what kinds of questions would we ask? Would it be, were you guys involved in the manipulation? That seems unlikely. Or was it more a matter of you could tell what was going on way back then and kept it kind of quiet?
There are two things here, John. I think some of it is a defense by Barclays as well as potential other banks who are being investigated, that they are trying to shift some of the blame from their own activities to the regulators by saying, look, guys, we were telling you what was going on back in 07, 08, and you just didn't move to stop this activity. So there's that one element. So potentially the Fed and central bankers and regulators in international markets, it's a question of what did they know, when did they know it, and what action did they take, or potentially what did they not do when LIBOR was mentioned to them.
Meanwhile, the investigations more broadly into the implications of this scandal relate to the effect of which the LIBOR interest rate has rippling through economies, to all sorts of institutions that rely on that rate for the setting of other rates, which determine what they're going to pay for borrowing. And that can be anything from, the General Motors of the world to, the city of Baltimore. I noticed that your paper has some reporting specifically on the issue of how interest rates in obscure quarters of the banking sector can have huge implications for the fiscal woes of cities and states. How does that work?
Again, I think this comes down to the complicated nature of the financial industry. And I think before, maybe a couple of weeks ago, no one outside of a small number of people in the finance world knew actually what LIBOR was. But it, frankly, is a very significant figure that underpins around $350 trillion of financial products. And then the question is that a lot of these products were using LIBOR as a sort of a benchmark for a multiple of trades, as you mentioned, from very obscure derivatives to potentially people's mortgages. So it's a question of, yes, not many people initially knew what LIBOR was, yet it is an integral part of the system. And now questions are being raised of, you know, why was this LIBOR rate given so much prominence, particularly as it was being set by a trade body run out of London?
So because this is a self-regulating trade body out of London, as you've suggested, what's their name again?
The British Bankers Association.
British Bankers Association. Sounds like just a lovely sort of place to go and have tea and maybe talk about the cricket scores and that sort of thing. But obviously it is at the center of this entire financial scandal. If this self-regulating body is found to be responsible on some level for allowing prices to move irresponsibly, and that cities and institutions around the world were forced to pay billions of dollars, and if we're talking about $363 trillion, billions are a drop in the bucket here. Does that mean the Bankers Association is very much liable for these kinds of things because they're a private association, or does it mean that they're completely shielded from liability because all this is so obscure?
Well, I think I'm by no means a lawyer, so we need to be quite careful about sort of who has responsibility. But I think what is important to know is that regulators here in Britain, as well as overseas, are now looking at potentially sort of definitely reviewing this process, as well as potentially taking it out and giving it to sort of a regulatory institution that can have more oversight. I think it needs to be clear that a number of regulators, you know, obviously having ongoing discussions with these guys, the BBA, as well as the British Bankers Association, as well as sort of the individual banks who are helping set this rate. So there was some oversight. It's a question of, was it enough, and do we need to do more?
Finally, before we go, any chance that the LIBOR would be replaced by some other interbank interest rate setting facility that might be centered in another city?
Potentially. I mean, there are a number of other options, but I think now, because the spotlight has come on to LIBOR so significantly, that I think politicians and regulators worldwide in the U.S. and overseas will definitely be looking at other options.
All right. Mark Scott, reporter for our partner, the New York Times Deal Book, on the LIBOR scandal and implications that it could indeed widen. Thanks so much, Mark.
Thank you.